Sunlight flares over the blue haze of the Earth's atmosphere, and light bounces off the planet's surface as it rotates. A word wraps around it as fiery dots spread across the continents. Universal. Light slides along the letters as more words appear. A Comcast company. Threads of a metallic liquid streamer branch off into curlicues and loop around at sharp angles. They take shape into the connected lowercase letters YP and solidify into a marbled logo against a black background. Two letters appear from darkness, light tracing along their metallic edges. A blue sheen permeates the full logo for BK Studios. Pale yellow lines trace out shapes which rotate against a gray background until they form the interlocking multidimensional letters GE in the logo for Great Escape. A bird's eye view of an ocean tide splashing over rocks turns blue as words roll in with the surf alongside a simple logo of a ring, Bondit Media Capital. A logo rolls and flickers as if on an old TV screen. Such content. In the New York City area, a plastic bag floats down to a sidewalk where a man treads over it.
It was almost 3 months after police found the first victim's body that law enforcement officials caught their first break when they discovered the killer used a doorknob to bash the victim's head in. And then, in an act of defiance, almost daring police to discover the murder weapon that was right under their noses. Asked, detectives said they'd never seen a case where the killer taunted police.
The man enters a bodega where a clerk taps his fingers on the counter. The door swinging closed behind him, the patron sets down an Anthora coffee cup.
This coffee's shit. Like the milk's bad or something. I don't want my money back.
The clerk finally looks up from reading a newspaper.
Get the fuck out of here. I just drank this coffee that tasted like a monkey's fucking asshole.
I was just in here.
You were not just fucking in here.
Oh, you're trying to tell me that I wasn't just fucking in here?
Puñeta! Motherfucker, I don't know you.
Yeah, but I know who you are, Luis.
Get the fuck out of my store!
Not without my money.
Get the fuck out!
Go ahead. Play the security camera for you.
Motherfucker, I'm gonna crack your fucking skull
you
open!
You ain't gonna do shit!
Motherfucker, try me,
video.
Motherfucker!
Play the video!
Come on!
Play the video!
Mother, I don't got no fucking security video!
Are you done?
Letter panels appear one at a time from a black screen. They spell out The Kill Room. Together, the letters offer a windowed image of the bodega, which comes to life as the patron drags Luis across the floor with a yellow plastic bag over his head.
Stop squirming!
The clerk's shoes leave scrape marks on the floor, which dissolve to an abstract painting covered with black lines.
Such a strong piece, don't you think? Are you familiar with the artist?
Oh yeah, Grace is amazing.
I just think this newer work is such an interesting evolution of her practice, don't you?
Definitely.
So is it something you think you want to add to your collection, or?
Oh no, sorry, I'm only in NFTs right now.
Cool, enjoy your night.
In an office, a woman with a blonde dye job closes a curtain over a window looking into the gallery. She grabs her purse and sits down at a desk. The saleswoman from the gallery floor peeks in from a door.
Shouldn't you be out there trying to make a sale? Thought that's what gallery openings are for. Mingling?
Well, when you're a grown-up, it's called networking, but no one would come to one of these things unless... Ah! Christ! Jesus!
She digs out a silver capsule on a chain and opens it over her desk.
What? Don't judge me. It's just Adderall. Stop. It helps with my anxiety.
I wasn't judging you.
The boss snorts a line.
My other friends who intern at galleries, they just tell me that usually the drugs come out at the after party, not at the opening.
Look, do you want to make a sale? Well, then get out there and make one. Half the gallery's cut is yours.
Really?
My math sucks, but I know half of zero is zero.
The front windows read Program Gallery.
And fucking Grace.
It's really a study of his childhood, so... I kind of went back to these fundamentals of stamps, and I've been making my own stamps and carving my...
There's no one here but friends and deadbeats.
Hey, Patrice. Oh, congratulations, Grace.
Mm-hmm. Any collectors coming?
Yes. Hi. I've had correspondence with a lot of great people, and many have shown interest.
Any sales?
Not yet.
What about press?
Figure 40 has your
That's
images.
A blog. I meant press.
Well, we've been having a conversation yes. with some very right. good
Who's
people.
We?
Leslie and I.
Hi, Grace. Great show.
Leslie's an intern, no offense. But Annika Lund has a press agent at her gallery.
And if we sell out this entire show, I'll spend $10,000 a month on one, too.
Annika also has a writer for the New York Times, The Kimono, doing an article.
Hey, Bert's here.
She loves your work.
I heard that you sold one of her pieces to the Morehouse Foundation, one of the big ones.
Oh, well, actually, they have a relationship that goes back a while, and
Why
I know...
couldn't you have just offered them one of mine?
Congratulations, you two. Oh, the show looks great.
Oh, so sweet of you to come. I know you've been practically living in the studio.
When's your next show?
Oh, soon. Mind if I swing by the studio and check out the progress?
Yeah, there's something that I would like
I was actually just asking Patrice why... She couldn't offer any of my work to the Morehouse Foundation.
Patrice shoots her a wide-eyed look, then forces a smile. Fern folds her arms with a curious grin as she watches Patrice walk off.
More wine?
In the daytime, the patron from the bodega enters a building marked Neptune Bakery and Deli. Subtitles. Bullshit. It was 3 points, not 3.5. One of two Hasidic men slams something on the counter. You'll be the death of me, thief. Stay healthy, you can kill yourself later.
You son of a bitch.
This coffee's shit. Milk's bad or something.
The black clerk eyes the man from the bodega.
I'm not falling for that, motherfucker. How's my boy chick?
Fucking fantastic. What's wrong with those assholes?
Those altacacas? They got their granny panties in a bunch because Minnesota didn't cover the spread. Not to perpetuate a hateful stereotype, but those motherfuckers are some cheap motherfuckers.
The only word I caught was thief.
Anton and Andre love the deli bit. Pin up on aisle 6! That's gonna prevent a lot of sticky fingers.
They go to a back kitchen where a baker places bags of cash in 2 takeout boxes.
We're a team, right? Andre, Anton, you, me?
Yeah.
Well, we have a money problem. You know that guy Lyle and that weird Irish guy that does his wet work for him? You know, the one that never takes his jacket off indoors, even though you say to him 5 times, hey, aren't you hot with that jacket on?
Gordon. Yeah.
They're gone. Locked up. Taxes, like Al Capone. Mm-hmm. We need to find a new way to deal with the money.
At the program gallery, Leslie wears black gloves while she handles a painting.
Let me see that. That hasn't gone out yet. It sold last week.
Got an email from Philip. He changed his mind.
Changed his mind? I sent him a damn invoice.
Said his wife thought they had too many watercolors or something.
Since when have men started listening to their wives? Ugh, I told you, no more mail. Only collection letters or cancellation notices. Running a business is about learning fiscal prioritization.
This is today's mail. You're looking at last week's, remember? Chronologically ordered piles of fiscal prioritization. It's best I can do.
She dumps that day's mail alongside the rest.
Sculpture Foundation fundraiser. Bet a lot of collectors are gonna be there.
Yeah, and I'd have to donate at least $10,000 if I wanted to sit next to one of them.
Annika's imitations are really nice.
Patrice snatches it from her.
What? No, I'm just saying.
I was cutting costs.
She opens the invitation.
You think she's going to Sculpture Foundation?
Are you kidding? She's probably gonna sit on some collector's lap.
You know, they have lower amounts where you just do drinks and not dinner.
So I can stand around the ice machine with all the other broke losers and watch the connected people go in for dinner? Pass.
She sees a scruffy man in a beanie entering the gallery.
Fuck. Speaking of people I owe money to.
Fabricator?
Dealer. Drug dealer. Where do you think I got my Adderall from?
Therapist?
Cut me off years ago.
Dressed in a pinstriped waistcoat, a necktie, and slacks, Patrice exits her office and adopts a pleasant demeanor as she approaches her dealer.
Hey, Nate.
Yo, girl. All good with you? This stuff is dope. This by the same guy who did all that weird shit with the magic markers?
Well, these are by a woman, so no, different artist. But I can see why you'd say that. They both have similar practices.
Oh, yeah? Not everyone catches that good. Some more practices?
What can I say? You've got a good eye, Nate.
How much does it go for?
5, minus the frame.
5,000.
Man,
you sell it?
Mm-hmm. Not yet. But hey, you must know a lot of rich people. How about you send them over my way and I cut you in on any sale I make?
Fuck, girl. You're the only class act I got. Listen, you know I love to hear about your hustle and all, but I came here to talk about my game. You know?
I know. And I know I owe you from last time. But while I don't have cash right now, I think I have something you would like.
You know, I think you're hot and all. I love older women, but I told my lady I'd be better about...
Not what I meant, Nate.
Holding up a finger, she turns and strides back toward her office. Now, pedestrians walk past a row of roll-up doors decorated with street art. At a coffee bar, a barista sets down a latte with a leaf decoration in the foam.
Thank you.
Patrice sips it, getting foam on her lip and nose.
Patrice. Hey, Annika.
Veronica.
Did you get the invitation to my opening?
Oh, I haven't gone through my mail yet.
I would love for you to come see my new show before I have to head off to Berlin for a studio visit.
I know what you mean. I just had a studio visit myself.
Fern Davis?
Yeah.
God, I love her work. Pure genius.
You just had a studio visit with Fern?
Oh, no, I just took a little peek when I stopped by to bring her some tea I picked up in Shanghai last week.
Oh, it's a wonderful time of year to be in Shanghai.
Really is.
Annika, we're gonna be late again.
Just doesn't stop, does it?
I have to get back to the gallery myself.
You never know, someone might be there.
Don't be terrible.
You're the one who always makes fun of her.
Patrice holds up her phone and sees her reflection. She wipes the foam off her face, now at a warehouse full of panties.
Are you fucking Tony Montana, Gordon? That Cayman Island shit went out. Before I was in the game, man.
Oh, yeah? Well, how you handling your bag? You walk up in Chase Manhattan and say, let me make a deposit?
My money goes through the dark web, comes back cleaner than a nun's drawers.
Speaking of, how's this here working out for you?
Are you kidding? Yo, this room here is like 4,900. I'm gonna do 3 or 4 of these a week.
Pee panties for perverts. What a world. But you gotta admire a man who carves out a niche market for himself.
You like that?
Gordon's enforcer eyes Patrice's unsold watercolor.
It's weird.
Got dark for you. Customer of mine was short of cash. Gave me that instead.
Oh, you run the swap meeting now? What's this worth? Like half a blunt?
That chick there is worth 45 grand.
Bullshit in the China shop.
My girl Patrice ain't no joke with that art stuff.
Nate spritz his panties hung on a clothesline.
Patrice. And where's she at?
The city.
City. City.
Gordon studies the painting.
Yeah, I see you, Patrice. Yeah, girl. I see you.
While he gazes out across the Hudson at Manhattan, his henchman knits his brow. Now at the program gallery. Gordon enters, closing the door behind him, and peruses some of Grace's abstract artwork on the wall. He turns around and sees Patrice walking in from the back.
Oh. May I help you?
Couldn't tell if you were open or closed, you know? You tied up in the back somewhere being held hostage. One business owner to another. You should invest in one of those little sliding open, close signs, you know, from hardware store, all the $9 investment and tax deductible.
Let me know if you have any questions about the art.
Patrice, right?
She stops in her tracks.
Yeah. Hey, so I do have a few questions. One of your collectors was showing me this piece.
Oh, which collector?
Really good friend of mine.
Well, what art are you curious about?
Be frank, I don't want to buy any art. I want to sell art.
What?
When Nate showed me this...
Nate.
Yeah, Nate.
Nate,
Nate, the panty person designer. He and I do some business together. And he was mentioning you were having a cash problem.
What?
Well, it's nothing to be ashamed of. You know, solvency is a problem a lot of young businessmen and women have.
Well, my business is no business of yours.
Well, not right now, but I think we might be able to help each other out.
I'm sorry. I'm not interested.
What if I told you I have a valuable piece of art I'd like to sell, but I don't know anything about the machinations of the ins and outs of the financial art world. Mm-hmm. But a successful gallery owner like yourself, I'm sure you know all the artistic legalese and whatnot. So I propose I give you the piece and I give you the money for it. You cut me a check minus a nice fee for yourself and handle all the accounting paperwork and everything will be right as rain. Because I want everything to be, you know, this whole transaction on the up and up. Everything hunky-dory, you know, clean, as they say, like laundry.
Are you really mansplaining money laundering to me?
No, of course not. I need an expert for a very nuanced business transaction, and a mutual friend suggested I contact you for your expertise. I want to hire you as a consultant.
Thank you, but no.
Taken aback, Gordon eyes her sidelong.
Are you sure?
Yes.
He reaches into his breast pocket.
All right, well, I'm not gonna waste your time with a long spiel.
He pulls out a business card and hands it to Patrice.
My schmecko may not be snipped, but I make the best bialys in town. And I'll have some fresh for you when you change your mind.
She shakes his card in the air.
Thank you.
She watches him leave. Tensely clutching the business card, she paces across her gallery to keep eyes on him. She makes a beeline for the door and locks the deadbolt. Now, fireworks burst over the nighttime silhouette of Manhattan. They appear reflected in the eyes of a bearded male spectator. Gordon's enforcer rises up into view behind the man and violently pops a plastic bag over his head. As he gasps for breath, the picture fades to black. At a gallery event.
How much are these pieces of shit going for?
Small ones are $75,000.
I guess I'm too old to sell my eggs, aren't I?
Lots of ads for them on campus.
Let me buy every single piece I wanted.
You didn't tell me Mei Li's working with Annika?
I don't even know who that is.
Seriously. Glasses with Annika. She's only the top art advisor to the 1%. Remember that African dictator's son bought a loft in Tribeca?
Fantastic.
Guess who helped him decorate?
It's in like some island, I don't know.
Yeah.
Where?
Hello, Annika.
If it's...
Patrice, what a nice surprise.
You mailed me an invitation.
Nice design, by the way.
Thank you.
Patrice Capullo, I run Program Gallery.
Mei Li.
They shake hands.
Mei Li was just telling me she's already found homes for some of Vincent's work.
African dictator son? No, Brian Prithchard. His father invented that coil thing that heats up when you vape. Oh. He's become quite the collector. Mm-hmm. I showed him Vincent's work, and he's an enormous fan. Told me to get one for him, one for his wife, and one for each of his girlfriends.
I mean, what a sweetheart.
I told Yuri Ivanovich he should have one, too. He agreed. What did he invent? He's the biggest arms dealer in Ukraine, and really developing an eye for contemporary postmodern work.
He would love Cindy Sherman. I bet he just eat her right up.
Well, as they say, the beauty is in the art, not the collector, no?
My gallery is still at the point of selling to rich assholes, but I hope soon to have a client base of truly horrific people like these.
Ahmed's an oil tycoon mobster type. I have a lot of those types.
Lucky you.
I think he's actually had people killed.
Guess who wants to say hello?
the Galvinsons.
Hello, my dear.
My two favorite collectors
so
in the whole world.
Fern?
Lovely.
Patrice, hello.
Nice to see you.
Photo op, anybody?
Oh, definitely. Come. Yeah. Matthew, get the art.
There.
Hey, Del.
And, amazing.
At the coffee bar, Patrice sees the photo posted on social media with her cropped out. A caption reads, "Hanging with our new client, Fern Davis." Patrice grabs her latte.
Sorry.
She heads for the exit.
You know, I am super appreciative of everything that you've done for me.
At Fern's art studio.
6 years we've worked together. And your work has grown exponentially since then.
We have grown together. I also need you and your gallery to grow too. That just hasn't happened. Okay, Annika has a staff. She's a press person.
I got you reviews that we didn't have to pay for.
But Patrice, it's not just about the reviews, right? It's other things too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's being able to have real invitations made for an opening or having a nice dinner after a show and not just drinks, right? Like, stuff like that matters. Can you do that?
Yes. I can. And of course, stuff like that matters. I didn't want to say anything because, the gallery is going through some changes. We have a new...
Fern looks her up and down and lifts her brow. Patrice faces her squarely, her lip trembling slightly.
I just need you to stay with me.
She stares unblinkingly at Fern, who squirms under her vulnerable gaze. Patrice holds up her thumb and index finger, indicating a tiny space between them. Later outside, Patrice whips out her sunglasses and puts them on, then centers herself with a deep breath. She eyes Gordon's business card for Neptune Bakery in Jersey City, New Jersey. Later, a view across the water shows New York City receding into the background. Patrice rides a ferry past the rotting wood pylons of old abandoned docks. A city skyline comes into focus out ahead of her. At Neptune Bakery, Gordon places a basket of Bialys on a shelf. Patrice enters and eyes him from just inside the door.
Had a change of heart, have we?
Yep. Where's the piece?
Is that necessary?
Yes, it's necessary. I need something to sell.
Can't it just be anything?
No.
Well, didn't some guy put a mustache on the Mona Lisa and call that art?
Marcel Duchamp, but there's more to it than that. I mean, I need a painting to catalog.
Can it be something you already got?
You mean sell another artist's work and not give them the money?
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Well, then you'd have some real legitimacy problems, and I'm guessing that financial legitimacy is pretty important.
And you are guessing absolutely right. So I will call my guy, have him grab his brushes, and whip something up. Would that be oil, acrylics, or watercolors? See, been using the Googler, because I knew you were coming.
Yeah. Very impressive.
What's hot right now?
Elsewhere, a blank canvas rests on an easel.
What am I supposed to paint?
Fucking, I don't know. Just paint anything. Paint whatever you think about.
Pizza. I'm hungry.
The fuck? You goddamn jackass.
Oh, I'm the jackass? Who's the fucking jackass? Me or the jackass who asked me to paint some shit? I'm not a fucking artist.
Motherfucker, you want to make money, motherfucker? Just paint some goddamn thing.
All right, for Christ's sakes, I'll fucking paint.
Gordon's enforcer adjusts his position on a stool. He wipes the back of his hand across his mouth, then paints a dark slash on the canvas. In the back room of the bakery...
What's this bullshit you're asking my father to do?
Oh, excuse me for trying to broaden our horizons. Would it kill us to add a little sophistication, a little class to our business while we're trying to make money? I mean, my family, we wouldn't know culture from corned beef, but your father and you, Europeans. Isn't every other building over there a museum or something like that?
Get to the point.
Hey, I'm just looking out for us here. I don't want us to end up like Lyle's crew.
I bet that crazy Irish fuck finally took off his jacket, eh, Dad?
I'm just saying, these days, it doesn't hurt to be a little more careful. And with that in mind, somebody's got a little problem they want taken care of by a boy chick, then, you know, I suggest they buy art.
Art?
Yeah, art.
What the frig do you know about art? What art school did you go to?
Art school? You know who went to art school? Hitler. You want to call yourself an artist? Boom! You're an artist. It's not like you're running around saying you're a doctor or a lawyer or something serious. An artist.
He brings up a painting on his computer.
You're a moron. A fucking idiot, fake Jew, retard, moron.
Right, and who's gonna pay anything for this?
My 5-year-old makes better paintings with his fingers.
And that's the beauty of this, you fucking cretin. You remember Dave the Polack? He tried to clean his money using his father-in-law's used car dealership.
Oh, yeah. And they all got pinched.
Yeah, because even those schmucks at the IRS knew those piece of shit cars that he was selling weren't worth the money he was trying to push through. But art, this ugly-ass thing right here that looks like a Smurf with diarrhea, wiped his ass with it, can sell for $1 million, and they wouldn't bat an eye.
Anton looks to his father.
So from now on, there's a contract out. Instead of a bag man with a duffel full of money, here's the good part. They're gonna write a check to this classy, fancy, schmancy art gallery run by this artsy-fartsy young lady who will take a reasonable cut for herself and cut us a nice, clean check.
Anton cocks an eyebrow at his father, who just stares tight-lipped. Now at the program gallery, Gordon and Patrice sit before an abstract painting of layered paint splashes.
Yeah, damn. That is one ugly motherfucker.
No, well, he has an aesthetic.
Yeah, I got some pictures you'll like.
He presents 2 bakery boxes of cash. Patrice handles one of the plastic wrapped bundles inside.
Okay.
She closes the lids on the boxes and picks them up in a stack. Letting them drop to the floor, she grabs a pen and checkbook.
To whom shall I?
Andre Golic Trust. AndreGorlich Trust.
Trust.
So what happens now?
Well, I generate an invoice with the work in my database and...
She tears out a check for $150,000.
What's the artist's name?
Oh, we hadn't thought about that.
Oh. It's something that's not boring, like Balthus or Basquiat.
Bagman.
The Bagman.
Yeah.
Whatever. We good?
You best believe it. Clean as the Board of Health.
Patrice shakes his hand with both of hers.
Match made in heaven.
Later, Leslie crosses the street toward the gallery where Patrice signs a receipt for a delivery person.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Her intern arrives to find her maneuvering a hand truck containing a plastic-wrapped mini-fridge.
This is a Sub-Zero. It connects to the internet.
Sweet.
An RSVP to the Sculpture Foundation fundraiser. Best table next to the richest, most annoying fucking collectors ever.
Okay, don't take this the wrong way, but did a relative die and leave you money or something?
I made a sale.
Fuck yeah, what piece?
It was an acquisition that I, through a third party.
I mean, what's the work? I mean, is it something we can put on?
RSVP, it's tonight, best seats.
Seats, plural?
Seats, plural. That is, unless you mind sitting next to someone whose eggs are endangered.
Think I can let that slide. Thank you.
Patrice rams into a corner, then clicks her tongue at Leslie. She rushes to help. Now a singer in a glittery gold jacket performs dramatically. Leslie and her boss get drinks at the bar.
So Samir's boss told him all this booze is donated and like all these different vineyards fight to have their wine be the one they serve everyone.
Well, if those vineyards went through all the trouble, let's make sure to honor their work.
Spotting someone across the room, Patrice quickly turns away and sets down her glass.
Oh, fuck. It's the kimono.
Oh my God. In the 7th grade, the only thing I liked reading more than the Babysitter's Club were her reviews.
When I masturbate, it's to the thought of Maxine Woods giving the gallery a full-page spread. Sunday section, of course.
You win. One more wine?
Double.
Okay. Excuse me. Hi. Yeah, can we get double?
Patrice tries to eavesdrop on the kimono's conversation.
I interviewed him in Tituan.
Patrice?
Oh, Dr. and Mrs. Galvinson. So good to see you.
We didn't expect to see you, dear. Annika made it sound as if you wouldn't. Oh, there she is. Annika.
Oh. Hi.
Hello, Annika.
70s plus one?
Cute. My schedule freed up at the last minute, and so we decided to come.
We?
Don't mind me. Two for you?
Leslie, you remember the Galvinsons.
Of course. Love your collection. You have a couple of Fern Davis's pieces, right?
Leslie is my intern.
Oh, well. How nice of your boss to bring you to such an event.
Did you bring your assistant?
I begged him to come, but he's setting up our new NFT division, so he'd stay behind.
Ah, the new art market bubble. Alan Meyer's son has one.
It is so great seeing you both here, Patrice. I mean, I have to apologize. I just haven't seen you at any of the events in a while. I just was under the impression you weren't coming tonight.
Well, surprises are fun, but
I just thought the gallery wasn't doing well since Sebastian.
Oh, well, she just closed this huge deal on a painting from the Bagman, so.
The Bagman? Is that a subgenre offshoot of the Pictures Generation movement?
Well, sort of a raw contemporary collection with an urban sensibility and a lo-fi aesthetic.
Well, I can show you. I have it on art binder right here. Mm. Here, just hold this.
Leslie shoves her wine glasses into Annika's hand.
Perfect. Right here.
She shows her phone.
It's so
ugly.
Ornate.
I mean, the artist doesn't have the kind of refined process that you're used to seeing, but some collectors really gravitate towards pieces that are more unfashioned.
And you say it already sold.
Or maybe it's just on hold?
You look great in that color.
It's sold. Yeah.
Eck?
$150,000.
Isn't that rather high for an emerging artist?
We better get our seats. We're at table 5. Annika, you on the dais, hon?
I'm at table 35.
Annika plasters on a toothy grin.
Shall we?
Leslie takes back her wines.
Let me get those.
Thank you.
That was awesome. I couldn't wait to ask Matthew what Annika said after all of that. How do you know so much about that sale?
Oh, well, you're always telling me to keep the database organized, so.
When did you scan it into the art binder?
No offense, but it hasn't exactly been crazy busy, you know?
Oh, no. It's fine. But just for the moment, can we just keep that sale on the DL?
Why? It's like the biggest thing we've had since I've been here.
The artist is very private. He doesn't know me very well. So we're trying to establish the dealer-artist trust bond.
Okay. Sorry, shouldn't have.
We just need to control his introduction to the marketplace. Too much exposure too soon could be detrimental.
Elsewhere, another victim is suffocated with a bag. In his studio, the painter adds a streak of red to a new work. Now a pill drops onto Patrice's desk. She signs a check for $175,000. Leslie talks on her phone.
I'm sorry, we don't have any work from the Batman available.
Another victim is suffocated, blood spilling from his mouth. In his studio, the Bagman squirts red paint into an Anthora coffee cup and swishes it around before angrily splattering it onto a canvas. Now, two pills land on Patrice's desk, and she signs a check for $200,000. Elsewhere, Matthew reads from his computer.
Art Revolution.
Blood pours down the inside of a bag over a man's head. The artist tosses red paint onto a canvas. Patrice tears out a check for $250,000.
There's not a wait list because there's nothing to wait for.
A man gasps for breath with a bag over his head. The artist aggressively creates new work. An entire bottle of pills is emptied onto Patrice's desk. Matthew reads an article, Who is the Bag Man?
It's all hush, hush. I don't know anything.
That's crazy.
Patrice is acting really weird.
Patrice is weird. The woman dropped Sebastian Stone. Who does that?
He sees his boss approaching.
Gotta go.
Well, what did she say?
They don't offer refunds. You have the full appointment.
Not about my acupuncture, Matthew, the bag man.
Okay, she doesn't know? It's all handled through Patrice. Nobody who Leslie knows has any idea, but everybody wants one. From all over the world. Paris, Milan, the Vatican.
I'm aware, Matthew. Thank you. Would you go get me a green juice? Roots 3.5, thank you.
Of course, bitch. You know I'm here for all of it.
Mei Li stands beside Annika.
Patrice is too much of a flake to handle something this big, right?
And we're talking about the woman who was inhaling the shrimp at the Sculpture Foundation gala?
Yeah, right.
Oh my god. It's figure 40. It's a dumb art blog nobody even reads. I mean, don't tell Grace that or anything.
What part of keeping this to ourselves did you not understand? Would you understand better if I made a meme out of it? For fuck's sake, we need to stop talking about this right now.
For the first time since I've been here, we have an artist blowing up and we can't talk about it? I had to say something. Do you know how dumb that makes me look if I don't know anything about our best artist?
Just lie, like I told you.
Says the dealer who dropped Sebastian Stone right before he did his motorcycle series.
That has nothing to do with any of this. I told you specifically not to talk about the bad man. I'm handling it.
So then how come every time the phone rings, which was like never before weeks ago, and it's someone begging to give us money for a Bagman piece, you always make me deal with them?
Answer the phone.
So I can sound like an idiot? I mean, whether I tell them I don't know anything or nobody picks up, it's the same thing.
Part of your job is still to answer the phone.
What are you so afraid of? Matthew told me Annika said that you're afraid of success. That's why you dropped Sebastian and, you know, I don't know, that he was like becoming a star and you couldn't handle it. You may have blown your shot and want to keep your gallery small, but not me.
Her boss sits forward, fuming.
I didn't drop Sebastian because I couldn't handle it. I dropped Sebastian because I didn't want to handle it. Yes, he's a talented artist, but he's also a misogynistic pig who harassed me, my assistant, the art handlers, and their mothers.
So fucking tell people then.
Sebastian still makes a lot of people a lot of money. And when you make big sales, you have the power to control the narrative.
Right, so doesn't that mean that with all this Bagman shit, that you have the power again?
Later, Patrice arrives at the Neptune Bakery by taxi and goes inside through the corner entrance. Dressed in all black, she saunters into the back kitchen.
Gordon!
Hey, did I come to your place of business interrupting you?
That's how we met, remember?
All right. So what's up?
I need another painting.
What happened to one a week?
It's for a real collector. Sales all lined up, $275,000, give or take 10%.
I don't bullshit a bullshitter. What's the scam?
No scam. A legit collector wants to buy a piece from an emerging artist.
Who the hell pays that kind of money for something they haven't even seen?
Collectors buy stuff all the time, sight unseen.
What kind of person pays that kind of money for those ugly pieces of shit?
Collectors don't buy art because they like it. They buy it because they think they need it, and they think they need it because they're afraid somebody else will get it. That's the whole way pricing works.
Look, why don't you go ahead and do this thing yourself? You know, you paint it. If you can sell it, great. Just give us our cut.
Collectors are discerning. They'll know.
So you want a glimpse inside the artist's mind? You giving interviews today, Rembrandt?
He looks toward his enforcer sitting off to the side.
You made those pieces of shit?
Okay, can we not with the pieces of shit thing?
No explanations. We'll have something for you tomorrow.
Back at the gallery, Gordon plops down a new painting on Patrice's desk.
I'll be having another one for you in like a week or so, okay?
The art dealer shivers as she takes a closer look at the work.
Hey, cool?
Oh, yeah, thanks.
He drops a check on the painting and she hands him one in return.
Excellent. As usual, pleasure doing business with you. Oh, I'm not sure if this thing goes that way or that way, but you'll figure it out.
As he leaves her with the abstract artwork, she looks through a window at the bagman perusing some of Grace's pieces in the gallery. Moments later, she steps out from around a corner, cocks her head to one side, and walks forward, buttoning her dark blazer. She stops and watches the bagman study one of the paintings on display.
What do you think about this piece?
I don't know. I got these circles and one of these prices right flowers or some shit. What's this guy saying?
Well, she's recreating childhood memories.
Her mother used to give her a sticker every time she got a good grade. In her execution, she only draws their shapes.
So how am I supposed to get that? You know, as anybody.
Well, nobody has to get anything. I'm just saying, for this artist, they're not just shapes. They're memories that we can tell are important to her.
Squinting his eyes, he turns around to face the gallery owner.
So when you look at my work, can you tell anything about me?
I'm an art dealer, I'm not a mind reader. I know about Grace's work, because I know about Grace. Mm-hmm. You? I hardly know you, so.
The bagman steps over to a delicate pink sculpture and shifts his jaw to one side while eyeing Patrice.
So maybe I don't want anybody to know about me.
When you make art from a truthful place, people find out something about you. It's fucked up, but we kind of have the same job, you and me. We both sell products that people spend a fortune on because of how those products make them feel.
What's that got to do with me?
You're a drug dealer, aren't you?
He looks down with a smirk. Now, Patrice's finger swipes through the bagman's paintings on her tablet.
I'm starting to see why he has an appreciative audience yet remains under the radar. The simplicity. It's so present that it's almost a distraction at first.
It takes a discerning collector with a trained eye.
Which ones are available?
None of them.
Really?
Sadly, I've spoken to the artist and his other gallerist. There's an extremely long wait list of collectors. And some commissions, too.
You've always been a champion of you and all your artists.
I know serious and established collectors such as yourselves understand that it's in everyone's best interest to give the most relevant work to those who show support, not for a single artist, but for the gallery's program in general.
Well, why don't you tell us more about Grace's new work?
Elsewhere, a train crosses a bridge through a riverside industrial area. In his studio, the bagman dabs red paint onto a brush from a container alongside some fast food. With a flick of his arm, he erratically splatters the paint across his latest work before applying a few brush strokes. Patrice steps in from a door and glances around the spacious, dimly lit white brick-walled storage area. Closing the door behind her, she moves toward the center of the room and takes in more of the crude confines. Looking toward a bank of windows, she witnesses the bagman's aggressive paint splattering process. She navigates her way around the storage items and comes up behind the artist. Clad in a monochromatic outfit of a striped blouse and a jarringly patterned scarf worn like a loose necktie, she pauses to observe his work from up close. He wheels around and sees her.
Gordon told me to... You almost done with that?
Just give me a second, please.
He sits down in front of his painting and wipes his nose. He pours more red paint into the container beside his lunch. Patrice walks closer to his artwork of violently competing colors. She turns and sees some plastic bags displayed on a skeletal wire frame. Circling around the piece, she takes in its sculptural composition. The bags have been stained to different degrees with red. Patrice stops and looks toward the artist with an unnerved shake of her head.
What is this?
He turns and looks back at her over his shoulder.
What the fuck is this? How do you make that?
She crouches down in front of the sculptural work. The artist stands up from his stool. He comes closer to the red-smeared bags.
Something about this excites me. Scares me, even.
Why would that scare you?
You tell me you're the artist.
Later, at the program gallery, Grace speaks with Leslie amid a clutter of boxes.
You think that Patrice puts as much value in the process of making something than the final product? I mean, nobody does. Nobody cares about narrative anymore unless
there's so much going on with it. And the collectors.
Oh, collectors? Really? My show has been up for weeks and you managed one sale, but this guy who I've never seen before, he's got collectors lined up.
Grace, can you give me a second?
Sorry, is he your next show? Is he on the roster? Are you on the roster?
You wanted to take a
look. Oh my God. Are you the bag man?
He averts his gaze.
Oh, sorry. Do you think that everyone doesn't know about the bag man? Because Leslie was telling everybody at the Grey Pillar opening about him.
Sorry.
So, you're the bag man?
What do you know about a bag man?
I really gotta deal with this.
Deal with this? Oh, I'm so sorry, Patrice. I had no idea my career was such a goddamn inconvenience to you. You know what? Fuck you!
Hey, bitch, chill out.
Whoa!
What?
Let's have this conversation later.
I fucked this for sure.
You just want to hold on.
Grace follows the bag man outside.
Grace.
You're a straight white man making fucking boring, a straight white man art. You are making a killing in the art world by making safely abstract fucking wall decor. $150,000 for your first piece? Belongs at the Holiday Inn!
She turns and storms off in the opposite direction. Now a baker needs dough.
I forgot I even had an email address till the Spanish girl with the limp told me I had a message. I thought she was lying. But lo and behold...
Gordon pulls up a photo on his computer.
What on God's green earth is this?
Conceptual art.
What?
It's a type of artwork.
I'll conceptual art your ass. Look, this thing's supposed to be a front. That means low profile. Why do I even have to tell you this is not good?
Patrice thinks it's good.
What else is she gonna say? She's running a business. She's thinking about the money she's gonna make off you.
Oh, and you and Andre aren't?
That's totally different.
How is that different?
Because that business is not our business. This is a problem, and not just for you and me, for everybody, which means it's gonna be an even bigger problem. You understand?
The bagman nods, then lets his head hang low. Gordon studies him with concern.
Let me ask you something. You ever think I'm gonna be good with Anton and Andre?
You know the kind of guys Andre has working for him. I mean, you're like Einstein compared to those slamazzles. He knows you're a good earner.
No, I mean like, you know, good.
Like good, good?
And for good.
If you're saying what I think you're saying, I'd say don't say it again.
Well, then how long is long enough? When am I ever going to be straight with these guys?
I don't make the rules. You're a lifer. Like me.
He shrugs his hands.
Sorry.
The two men stare at each other from across a kitchen island. The bagman lets out a frustrated tisk as he straightens. Back at his storage room studio, he continues working. As he feeds his hands inside a red-tinted plastic bag, a new scene fades in to show it frozen in place on display for Patrice.
Pam left.
It lowers on a mounting, the windows of the gallery partly covered in brown paper.
Perfect.
Love the adjustment. I just wanted you to look over the wait list. I know that we had some
problems. No, not him. Please, Leslie. He just every time it's the same.
On it? I was wondering.
The bagman enters.
What do you think?
Ready for your big night?
I don't know.
It's okay to be nervous. You're coming, aren't you? What's with the shrugs? This is a huge night for you. Something you didn't know was inside of you is about to be shown to the whole world.
Maybe there are people out there who don't want me to open up and share what's inside of me with the world.
You just described every artist's fear ever.
Right.
Hey, what's up?
Anyway.
No, you don't need to bring anything. No, I told you. I'm telling you the truth.
Oh, this makes trouble. Okay, yeah, sorry.
Hold on. Patrice, it's my sister. She wants to know what people wear to things like this.
Whatever.
The Galvinsons arrive.
She says whatever.
Hello!
No, I swear to God, that's what you fucking said.
Hey. Hi. Obviously.
Mrs. Galvinson goes to a piece of artwork.
This. These are, tell me about them.
The complexity of urban identity. An examination of the individual's place in a culture of consumerism. The artist tries to capture the essence, what I like to call the breath of a concept.
Are you talking to your sister? Mm. What's her email? You can add her to her mailing list.
Okay, it's Nicole, N-I-C-O-L, Marie.
I would never say it's a good piece, but it's definitely eliciting a reaction in me. They make me feel
angst, foreboding, dirty. Ooh. Dr. G, I think it's high time you get your wife home.
Oh, I haven't seen that look since the California Clay Movement was revitalized. Let's get you home, dear.
I had pump caryatid on my nightstand.
Dr. Gavinson holds up a poster tube as they exit.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
The artist stares uncomfortably at his mounted bag display.
They love the work. They're going home to fuck each other's brains out right now because of you.
Well, you're the one who sold them on it.
Oh, it's easier when it's good work. I think people are going to respond to this show because you see things in a way very few people do. And they get to live vicariously through you.
Thanks.
And just to grease the wheels and make sure they get the next one from the bag man, they just bought one of Grace's pieces. Thank you.
You're welcome.
He eyes her sidelong. In her office, Patrice tears and crumples bits of newspaper and stuffs them in a thin box. The bag man appears in the doorway and leans against the jamb to watch her. She continues stuffing the box.
You know, it wasn't until we caught my Aunt Rachel taking leftovers out of the fridge and mailing them to relatives that we realized we needed to put her in a home.
It's a tax thing. Collectors don't like to pay city or state taxes so long as it's shipped out of state, like to a fine arts storage facility.
You just said they picked them up.
I interned at this gallery, and collectors would buy a sculpture for $300,000 and we just pop it in the back of their Mercedes. Then we start building these huge crates and ship them empty to a storage facility. So long as there's an invoice and proof that we shipped it out of state, that's all they need. It's funny to think there are these giant warehouses with armed goons guarding empty boxes.
At the opening reception, an attendee considers a piece composed of plastic bags tied around a wooden pallet.
Domestic violence, gender roles. Consumerism. Lest we not forget an obvious hit piece on climate change deniers. I need it.
Not for sale. Sorry.
Leslie struts off. In her office, Patrice places one of her blue pills on her desktop, then crushes it with a rock.
Take that, Annika!
She dips her finger into the powder.
My show is fucking awesome.
She rubs it around the inside of her mouth. Meanwhile...
Hey, Mr. Big Shot.
Why don't you fucking invite the cops here while you're at it? Paint a big fucking confession on the wall.
It's called art, you dumb fuck.
The art was just the front. We were all there when the fucking black dreidel laid out the scam.
Evening, boys. Looking to start a collection or some trouble?
You mind? We're talking here?
I do mind. It's my fucking gallery. Take it outside.
Hey, why don't you give us a second, okay, lady?
Reggie. When do people start using lady in the negative? What's
excuse
that
me.
About?
Pardon me, it's my brother's show, excuse me.
Oh my God! Will you look at this? I feel like I'm one of the Real Housewives.
Oh, you must be Patrice. Oh, honey, when Reggie told me about this, I couldn't believe it. You're a saint, I tell you. A goddamn honest to fucking God saint.
Holy shit, is that lasagna?
Yeah.
Yes, me.
Reggie told me not to bring anything, but I can't not. I feel shkumbati, you know? Hope that's okay. Although this feels more like a cheese cube crab
than
me.
I'm just gonna...
Take it to the office. I love lasagna. I'm not hungry now, but I will
Patrice.
Be later.
Ah.
So good to see you.
You two Essex aren't gonna ruin my brother's big night, are you?
Another pill is crushed. Patrice hands off her drink to her intern.
Anyway, as I'm saying, I would just...
She finds Reggie talking to the fan of his palette piece and taps him on the back.
This is sort of sexuality.
I'll be right back.
You're so fucking good.
Don't you feel awesome?
Yeah.
Hey, I got invited to a party by some cool art kids. I mean, like 20. But I told them I'd bring the farm. So, do you have any?
I don't have anything on me.
Can you get some? I mean, you're a...
I'm not a drug dealer.
Oh, really? Then what was all this about then? I mean, did you and Gordon, like, forget your cash cards?
Patrice, I'm not a fucking artist, and I'm not a fucking drug dealer.
You don't get to say whether or not you're an artist. Other people get to say whether or not you're an artist. It's when you make people see something they've never seen before. I mean, what is this? If you're not an artist and you're not a fucking drug dealer, then what? Are you a bank robber? You're a bookmaker? Hey,
no,
you
don't.
Break people's stuff? You fucking...
Patrons record with their phones as Patrice faces him with a look of stunned realization. She gapes at the mounted, red-stained bag on display, then has flashbacks. Reggie wheels around on her. Flashes show him suffocating his victims. Patrice throws up into the plastic bag. A patron films her while another turns away disgustedly. The bag topples off its mounting.
Best internship ever.
Now, a garden fountain fades into view, backlit by the morning sun. At the gallery, Patrice lies curled up on the floor. Liquor bottles are scattered around her. Looking in through the glass doors, Reggie sets down a shopping bag, then picks the lock. Picking the bag back up, he comes inside. Patrice cowers in a corner.
The fuck? It was locked!
Reggie closes the door and raises the bag.
It wouldn't fit through the mail slot.
He puts away his lockpicking tool. His shadow moves toward the cowering Patrice. Then he stops, kneels down with the bag, and rolls her a sports drink from a few yards away.
I'm sorry.
He pats a hand on his thigh and stands back up. Eyeing him warily, Patrice opens the cap on her sports drink bottle and takes a guzzle. Reggie pulls a paper-wrapped breakfast sandwich out of the bag, kneels back down, and slides it across the floor to her. While taking another drink, she reflexively kicks it out of the way.
I'm sorry, okay?
That you kill people? Or that you use my gallery to help?
That you had to know.
That I found out. I knew that money laundering was a crime, but it's a white-collar country club, tennis court, jail kind of crime. But murder? Prison.
Reggie sits down with his back against a wall.
You didn't do nothing.
Patrice bangs her head against the wall.
What kind of idiot is a front for a guy whose own front is selling bagels?
Be always.
Really?
Gordon, I don't know. He's really precious about it all.
Fuck, 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 fuck.
She pounds the wall with her fist. Leaving her fist on the wall, she leans her head back against a door with a bereft look on her face. Reggie studies her soberly.
Could you really tell from my bags what I do?
Yeah. They're that good.
Turning his eyes away from her, he stares off across the gallery for a moment, then yields a tight smile.
Doesn't that mean that you're that good too?
Later, Leslie shows video of Patrice throwing up into the bag.
Okay, wait, but this one is my favorite.
Another social media post features it on a loop.
It's hypnotic, right? Bet that PR is worth more than 10 grand a month, huh?
She playfully nudges her mortified boss. Through the office window, Leslie sees the front door opening and a woman's platform heels striding in, tailed by a silky, loose-flowing garment. She grabs Patrice and directs her attention.
I love you so.
They duck low and watch the kimono peruse the exhibit.
I'll never let you go. Please, darling, say you do.
The art critic nods admiringly at the palette strung with bags.
I do love you.
She opens a notebook and writes something. Various emotions play out on Patrice's face as she and Leslie spy on the kimono.
Okay. Nice.
She walks to another piece and examines it. Patrice and Leslie crane to keep watching her through the window. The kimono ambles through the exhibit, taking in all of the bagman's work. Now, Annika sits with a newspaper in her gallery.
Are you fucking kidding me?
She sucks on a green juice while reading. Others read in various locations.
Not since 1949's Life magazine article, which heralded Pollock's drip period, have we seen an artist break out onto the scene with such critical acclaim. When asked about
inspiration for the series, the gallerist cryptically mentioned the bagman drawing from personal experiences.
Jesus fucking
Christ, there's more! The wondrous pieces are emotionally complex yet accessible. I, for one, am eagerly anticipating the next creation by this young talent. You made the fucking paper! Not your name, but those things you made for Patrice's storefront. This is big, Reg.
When'd you start getting the times?
I swiped it from that yuppie down the block.
Anton slams his paper down on the table.
You go find that motherfucking Picasso wannabe asshole, and you bring him back here! The show's over, fuckers!
Show's opening culminated in a hybrid performance that dared to address the combustible relationship between artist and gallerist. He's so hot, too.
Like, not usually my type, but I couldn't help but look at him. Definitely not the Sebastian Stone type. I mean, he wouldn't even look me in the eyes.
Patrice distractedly knits her brow and clenches a fist.
It wasn't like I planned it.
At a restaurant.
It wasn't something I wanted as a kid. You know, I'm not a psycho or anything.
I work with artists. Trust me, you're no psycho.
Sitting with the bagman, Patrice drops a napkin in her lap.
My sister got in trouble a lot when we were kids. Eventually, she got into junk, and it got bad, real bad. She ran up this debt to her drug dealer, who was just a piece of shit who worked for Andre. He wanted her to work it off.
Ugh.
So I went and I found the guy. I tried to work something out, but this stubborn fuck. We got into it. And I ended it. You know, you can't just knock off one of Andre's guys like that. Or he makes a call and I go away forever. Anyway, that's how they got me. And now they get you too. You have family?
I have art.
Reggie sets down his drink and smacks his lips. Patrice holds her hands folded tightly. Reggie pensively slides his jaw from side to side.
You had a favorite artist?
Buzz Jan Otter. He died, actually, while making art. Got lost trying to cross the Atlantic on a 12-foot boat.
She smiles at her lunch companion. His brow furrows a bit, and he shifts his brown-eyed gaze.
So that was his art. It's getting lost.
Conceptual art. Just an idea.
Reggie's lip twitches slightly. After lunch, he and Patrice cross the street.
Thanks. That was delicious.
When I think about my top life experiences, I'm torn between Walter DeMaria's The Lightning Field and their clams to casino. Why did I let myself be happy for 10 minutes?
Hey, Reg.
Look at you all out and about being social. Though I can't say a pegged a friend here is your type. No offense. I like the gallery.
Be a shame if...
Something were to happen to it? Really?
Wow, brains and a mouth on this one.
Yeah, tell me about it. Anyway, Andre and Anton want to see you. Both of you.
Hey. Hands off!
Reggie socks the goon in Andre's restaurant.
What the?
Sorry.
A server exits the kitchen with a tray of food, which she places before Andre.
You have to make every little thing a kick in the nuts, don't you? All we wanted to do was talk.
That's what we're doing right now.
You didn't really have a choice now, did you?
Fuck, I didn't. I don't want to cause a scene in front of her place.
Oh, but you want to be all over the frickin' newspaper?
Well, technically, his expression is in the paper, not him. But I think it's better for an artist to remain anonymous.
Andre sharpens his carving knife on his fork.
The black dreidel says that
maybe you're no longer happy working for me.
No, I was just hoping that maybe you and I were straight.
Andre leans forward in his chair, eyeing his guests.
The first time? You did a great job. And I told the Black Dreidel, that guy's talented, he'll do very well for us. And when a man is good at his job, he doesn't leave.
Patrice trades a quick glance with Reggie.
Right?
She raises her eyebrows with a strained smile.
You like lamb chops?
Parmigiana.
Oh, Parmigiana. Americana. I do the best chops in New Jersey. Absolutely the best.
Glad I came.
Now.
Andre transfers a piece to her plate.
Here. We don't want a starving artist, do we?
Art dealer, actually, but thank you.
The mob boss shrugs his hands.
Good and loyal workers become just like family, and family never leave. Reggie? His family. Black Dreidel? His family, too. And you?
Eyebrows lifted, Patrice cocks her head questioningly toward Andre, who considers her gravely.
You're part of this family now.
Smiling, he picks up his drink.
Salut!
Patrice and Anton raise theirs.
Salut!
At the gallery, Leslie hurries after Patrice.
Oh my God, Patrice, where have you been?
Not now.
Okay, no, I
just...
You are not going.
1 second. Please.
I just don't think you...
Leslie, please.
Patrice finds the kimono in her office.
I hope you don't mind. Your assistant said it'd be okay if I waited in here. It's quite busy out there. Welcome back, Patrice.
Well, I have your article to thank for it, so...
You know, when you didn't return my call, I became rather curious, so I decided to come in and take a peek for myself.
Oh, my apologies. I've been dealing with some developments.
I bet. Well, you're clearly busy, so I'll get right to the point. I would like to do a piece on the Batman.
What particular day of the week would this article come out?
Sunday, yes.
I would love nothing more than for you to do an article on the Batman, but what you've written already is more than enough.
Oh, no, that was just a review. I'm referring to a full piece, like a deeper exploration.
It's a crazy time now with the show and everything.
It's the show that I mean to explore.
Through the window, she sees Leslie talking with some cops.
I can't. Sorry.
You understand that this would be great exposure for you, the gallery, the artist.
Yes, we just don't need any exposure.
Do you understand what you're doing? Right now?
Yes.
I mean, are you aware that I could...
I don't want your article! Oh, Miss Woods.
Patrice takes a seat across from the critic.
I am so fucking sorry.
It's perfectly fine.
You have no idea how much I...
Patrice, listen. That was completely unexpected, but it was honest. So you know what? I'm gonna be honest in return. I'm not used to being told no.
I hear it all the time.
And I gotta warn you, when I hear no, it makes me want something even more.
She takes a hit off her vape pen, then points it at Patrice. At the bakery.
He has other opportunities.
Did we not just have this conversation a few nights ago? Andre not only has things in his walk-in freezer with four legs, some have only two.
He doesn't want to do it anymore, Gordon.
And I don't want to walk down Christopher Street and be whistled at. But sure as God made little green apples, it happens.
What could we give or get Andre to let us go?
Nothing. How clear do I have to make this to you? Does he have to pull his knife on you again to make this any clearer?
There's always something.
He's not going to let you out of this, either of you. You're both too valuable, man.
You need to give him something that's more valuable.
What, you think she can get the Met to launder his money?
What about a red file?
Oh, a golden meatball. So now we're doing Day of the Jackal. You're gonna punch the Pope's ticket?
Gordon, you always looked out for me. And I cannot tell you how much I appreciate that. But these guys would just as soon shoot us as scratch their fucking nuts. I have no life. All I do is what these assholes want. And all of a sudden, in walks her, and she offers me a chance at a new life, one I would have never fucking dreamed of. I gotta try to take this,
man. What the fuck was that? I have a dream speech? Listen to me, booby. Not all of us get to have a dream.
What's the Yiddish word for myopic? Jesus, Gordon! What's a red file?
It's, you know, unkillable people. You know, sex traffickers, kingpins.
People nobody can get to, but everybody wants taken out.
Drug
dealers,
drug maker,
Wall Street.
Rich and powerful men who aren't exactly Boy Scouts, but, you know, people you don't know and people you don't want to know.
Truly horrific people?
Mm.
At night, Mei Li joins Patrice at a bar.
So glad you finally called me. Hi. I'll do a Dobel tequila on the rocks with a piece of lime, please.
Listen, between us, when that whole Sebastian Stone drama was going down, everyone thought you were nuts. Not me.
I always knew you were a talented dark horse.
Your discerning eye is graciously appreciated.
Tell me about the bag man. I need to know everything. Well, I have this really make-or-break moment with him and with the whole world suddenly watching.
It is imperative I help you find just the right collector.
Well, he's non-traditional, and the piece is personal to him. So personal, in fact, that he insists on meeting the collector first.
Of course.
And by the way, I love outsider artists. That raw talent uninhibited by the form that grad schools demand. I want one. Yeah. I have to warn you, there's a darkness present in his work, and it's in him too. He's not afraid to show it.
He shouldn't be.
I love darkness.
All the serious collectors appreciate it too.
I would love to be able to tell my artist who's interested.
They all are, if I tell them to be. I know a certain someone who would appreciate the Bagman more than most.
Mei Li takes a sip of her drink.
Give me a name.
I'd love to, but you should see these NDAs I've had to sign. They make you fear for your own life.
These men take their privacy very seriously. Men like Yuri Ivanovich? Or your friend Ahmed? Does the Ukrainian arms dealer or his buddies know that you share their Instagram pages with everyone? I wonder what the NDAs would say about that.
Mei Li stares at Patrice with a frozen smile, then nervously downs her drink.
She'll have another.
Daytime.
And he is the hit parade. Any name on that list will do, nothing less.
There's a lot of Russian, Chinese.
Sounds promising.
These guys have serious protection. We're not even gonna get close.
You worried about that now?
What if I did like five of my usual guys instead of the red file?
This is not some fucking Chinese takeout menu where you get two from column A, three from column B.
Andre and Anton come over.
Did anyone get a chance to take a look at today's specials? Enclosing a rat file for free? It's an ambitious proposal even for the black dreidel.
Black dreidel.
But to me, it sounds like bullshit.
Roman Rashnikov will take him out on December 10th between 12 and 4 in Miami.
Andre's grin fades, and he nods to Patrice, who gazes at him calmly.
You get that son of a bitch, Rashnikov. Kusok derma!
Andre winces, then collects himself.
And I'll give you anything.
Reggie eyes him in surprise. At a waterfront gazebo.
What in the hell is going to make one of the most targeted men in Russia leave his super secret secure compound and come hang out with your ass?
Stick to your bagels, Gordy.
Bialys. They're fucking Bialys. Let me tell you.
I know what I'm doing, Gordy.
And what is that?
We're gonna show him what he can't have, and he's gonna want it even more.
If we don't pull this off, there's gonna be contracts on us with every headhunter in town.
When we pull this off, you're gonna be more famous than Bazyan Otter.
Will you stop with that bullshit? Rashnikov is one of the richest men in Russia who buys utility companies the way you buy those goddamn pretzels. And you know where he's gonna be in a month and a half?
Maxine, hi.
Who the fuck is Maxine?
Patrice Capullo.
The lady in the kimono.
What? Who the fuck's that?
She's an art critic.
An art critic?
Do you listen to anything?
I listen to you all the time.
Okay, she wants to do a piece on
you. Oh, la-di-da.
That'll make a splash.
Oh, you want to make a splash? Wait till Andre fits you with these cement shoes and tosses your ass in the Hudson.
Now, a plane flies over palm trees. Inside the Miami Beach Convention Center, Patrice walks with Leslie and Reggie.
It's the Super Bowl of the art world. For a few days in each year, galleries from all over the world come together under one roof to show off their best work. Hey, Doug. And for dealers, it's a chance to meet major collectors that might never come to your gallery. Oh, Evan, I love the show. And for us? Well, we're here for other reasons. Annika!
Trees.
Headed in the opposite direction, Annika and Matthew stop and stare after the trio, who arrive in a large showroom with the Bagman's work on display. As patrons mill around the area, Patrice trades a look with her two companions, then crosses her arms. Now, the kimono sits across from the artist and his dealer taking notes.
Why belly bags?
Just what I use mostly.
Leslie sets up a dark padded room.
The everyday, the benign. The invisibility of utilitarianism.
The bags, they get the job done.
Your prices are quite high for an emerging artist. And, you know, while there's a long wait list for the work, I can't seem to find anyone who actually owns one.
I, for one, applaud collectors who buy art for art's sake, not just for tax write-offs and social bragging.
I completely agree. Too bad they're so rare. So, the million-dollar question, what's next for the Bagman?
None.
Taking time to enjoy your success?
Nah, I just don't want to make art anymore.
As a dealer, the business part of me is heartbroken. But as an art lover, I couldn't be more impressed by the honesty and integrity of this artist.
So this is really the last works we're going to see from the Bagman?
He's going to unveil one last piece the day after tomorrow, 3 p.m., right here. But I want to be discreet about it so that people experience the work and aren't influenced by the fact that the market thinks he's hot right now.
I completely understand. And I'll be discreet.
Now, the kimono plucks a string displayed against a black background. Numerous patrons move around the space, taking in various art pieces on the walls. By a bar, the Galvinsons clink glasses and sip their drinks. Then they, too, join the others walking around, studying the artwork on display. Meanwhile, May Lee holds her phone to her ear.
Patrice, May Lee here. Good news, Roman definitely wants the piece. Bad news, he's not sure about the meet and greet, but he's willing to pay triple the price.
A woman eyes a mounted plastic bag. Other patrons, including the Galvinsons, gaze at Reggie's abstract paintings.
Hi, May Lee. 3 p.m. tomorrow, or the deal is off.
The kimono continues plucking the string.
None of his bags are for sale?
The artist doesn't want to present the work as a commodity.
The review did a wonderful job of conveying the power of the piece, and I'm not afraid to tell you, I have not been that turned on in years. This is Miami.
Patrice winks.
Come on, not even an early sketch?
The earlier pieces are already with collectors, I'm afraid.
You led us to believe there would be work available to us.
I'm just as upset as you are.
What about the pieces you brought here?
Exhibition only, I'm afraid.
Not even for an old friend?
I do have a new work for sale. I'm just not exhibiting it till tomorrow. Tomorrow at 3. Accompanied by a live performance.
I'll take it.
I'll take it.
It's yours. Meet me at the VIP tent after the show. I'll have a car waiting.
We've got a problem.
Patrice spins towards Reggie. Now she strides into the convention center's lobby.
Anton.
He turns to face her.
You said this thing was gonna be a really big deal full of billionaires. There's barely anybody here.
Today and tomorrow are VIP screenings only. It's not open to the public yet.
Where's Reg? I wanna make sure he's not skipping town. And you two do what you said you were gonna do.
Well, you keep your voice down, okay? Everything's organized. Just let Reggie and I do our thing.
Which is what?
Patrice lowers her shades, winking.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Later, she and Reggie stand facing a docked, weathered boat.
You really think you're gonna make it to Cuba in that?
It's the best Gordon could do on short notice. I mean, it has to.
Whatever happens, whatever anybody says, we're just making art. That's all the dealers are gonna think.
Never really had an audience before, you know?
Oh.
Patrice hands over an envelope.
What's this?
Artist cut. And our legitimacy.
Alibi.
The envelope bears a check for 855 grand. Blowing out of breath, Reggie looks back up at the boat, on which a young man moves around working.
Thank you. But you know, if we pull this off, that's a pretty big fucking if. It doesn't mean that you're gonna be free of Anton and Andre.
What are we gonna do about Anton?
A private luxury boat sits docked nearby.
What?
He wants to be here. Well, that puts him here. Think about it. He's not supposed to be here, but I am. I'm the artist.
I'm glad to hear you finally admit it.
Right. So, if he's here, we should put him to work.
To work?
Reggie gives her a pointed look.
Hmm.
Now, an aerial view takes in a sleek red sports car speeding along a causeway with a Miami skyline across the water.
Hi, Patrice. Got your message. We're on our way. Roman is so excited.
In the crowded showroom.
My car.
We must speak with you.
Johnson, Mrs. Galvin.
We're willing to cover all fabrication costs.
Oh!
Outside, a man dressed all in black climbs out of the car.
Hey, Siri. Text Patrice Capullo. We've arrived.
I've just spoken with Art News, Art Forum, Art in America, and they'll all syndicate to global press.
I'm definitely interested in that.
Well, if it's about financial compensation for
Thank
anyone's
you.
Time...
Thank you, everyone, for your interest and support. I'm looking forward to talking to you after the performance.
May Lee strides through the convention center with Roman on one side and a female bodyguard on the other. Leslie opens the door to the padded room.
Patrice, may I introduce Mr. Roman Rashnikov?
The bodyguard waits outside with Anton.
Mr. Rashnikov, welcome. Your support for artists is well known, as well as your impressively immeasurable collection. This is my assistant, Leslie.
I've been telling Roman about your recent show in New York, and he's so excited at this opportunity to add.
I'm sure you are, but I have to warn you, this new piece is not for everyone's taste.
I'm sure I'll be able to handle it, honey.
He's so funny.
Hilarious.
Patrice, I can assure you definitively that Mr. Rashnikov is the most deserving person of the Bagman's word.
Hmm. Leslie, while Mr. Rashnikov and the bagman speak, why don't you take May Lee down to the storage to see the new piece?
The new piece?
Yes, it's on the shelf in a case.
Leslie glances between Patrice and May Lee.
Okay. Follow me. Can't wait to see it.
Mr. Rashnikov, the bagman.
Reggie rises from a chair. A wooden crate sits in a corner.
Finally. Men speak.
The two shake hands.
So tell me.
As Patrice leaves the black-walled room, Roman sits, a laptop positioned behind him. In the showroom outside, the patrons stand facing a large screen. Patrice turns on a projector with a remote.
Wasn't she in his other video?
A live feed of the black room appears.
Where did you study?
Fucking leeches, these dealers.
I'm self-taught. Been honing my craft for years.
In the room, Reggie unfurls a pink plastic bag.
I enjoy how your work comes from shadows. Places that most people find discomfort in.
Reggie slips both hands into the bag and spreads it open.
May Lee doesn't always have a good eye for what intrigues me. But not this time.
Roman's gaze travels down to the bag.
Is this it?
Not yet.
What does the work mean?
Truth.
With a small smile, Reggie leans forward.
What is more important than the truth?
Outside, the patrons watch the screen transfixed.
You see, I'm finally allowing the world to see a part of me that had been hidden for years.
Which part?
Reggie glances down. The laptop behind Roman continues transmitting the feed to the projector screen, with Roman's body blocking Reggie from the crowd's view.
So, which part?
Reggie turns the plastic bag around so the opening faces Roman. The collector eyes him steadily.
The dark part.
In one swift move, Reggie pops the bag over Roman's head and begins to choke him with it. Roman's bodyguard reaches for the room door, but Anton blocks her. She grabs him by his collar. Inside the room, Roman breaks free and runs for the door, only for Anton to burst in, strangling the bodyguard. He snaps her neck. As the crowd outside watches the live feed, Anton grabs Roman from the back and chokes him by pulling the plastic bag tight over his head. The patrons look on, mesmerized, as Roman falls to his knees, struggling to breathe. Anton lets go of the plastic bag, and his victim keels over. A mustached patron glances at Dr. Galvinson.
Oh my God.
Inside the room, Roman lies slumped over his bodyguard on the floor. Reggie looks up from the bodies, locking eyes with Anton. Outside, Patrice turns off the live feed. With her shades on, she swaggers up to the screen and faces her cheering audience. The mustached patron wipes his eye and nose before joining in the applause. Moments later, Patrice rushes into the room.
What the fuck happened?
Show muscled Anton.
Oh, that's bullshit, pussy.
Pussy? Looks like you needed a fucking stepladder to choke her out.
Oh, fuck off.
We're not gonna fit two bodies in that crate.
Figure it out.
Now, a stretch of caution tape is unrolled. Reggie pats Roman down and finds the keys to his boat. Outside, Patrice climbs into the back of a white limo.
Sorry to keep you waiting.
When I told everyone the bagman wanted you at peace, they just snapped.
New money!
Congratulations. How would you like to pay?
Oh, yes.
Mrs. Galvinson holds a credit card.
This means so much to us.
Oh, I'm so happy for you.
Rest assured, the work will truly have a place of honor
in our collection.
I'll throw in an Ed Ruscha if you swipe the fucking card.
Mrs. Galvinson complies.
Thank you.
Be careful, you two.
Indoors, Reggie rolls the wooden crate toward the exit, accompanied by Patrice and Anton. May Lee walks over with Leslie.
So, how'd it go?
You were right. He's the perfect man for the piece.
Yeah, he just about died for it.
Amazing.
This is the piece, actually. He wants you to ship us the address on the label as soon as possible. Like, right now?
Oh. Okay, where is Roman?
He said he wanted a party.
Dude's a party animal.
Leslie, I left something for you in the back room.
Copy. On it, Patrice.
Oh, wait, can...
May Lee watches the group heading away. She begins rolling the lidded crate down the hall, taking tiny, shuffling steps and struggling to keep it on course.
Okay.
She glances around.
Hello?
Meanwhile, Leslie enters the black room to find the bodyguard wrapped in police tape and left in Roman's chair.
How do you think Boss John Otter would feel about Jimmy Buffett?
At the docks.
Well, most people would think he wouldn't like him. But Boss John was an absurdist.
A view glides over open water.
Good luck, Reggie.
Now, a view from near the Statue of Liberty takes in the Manhattan skyline. Inside the new, bigger program gallery, Patrice speaks on the phone while Leslie works with an intern.
Hey. Yeah, Grace freaked when she heard about her first museum show. Went on a four-day rave.
I don't know how to forward a call, so just put them on hold and call from here, Patrice.
Nice article in the paper about your new digs.
You're reading the art section now?
Actually, I was scanning the obituaries for your name when I ran across the article.
Patrice meets Gordon at the waterfront gazebo.
Congratulations, kid. Looks like you pulled it off.
Well, well, well.
Everybody knows you got something on Anton. Whatever it is, so good, his father hadn't made you a permanent resident of his walk-in freezer.
What is that?
An invoice.
Patrice hands it to Andre.
For a piece I sold to this nice wealthy couple on the Upper West Side. Or was it Chelsea?
The Galvinsons fondle each other under a framed pink plastic bag spattered with blood.
It's a unique piece. One of a kind, really. Kind of like your fingerprints, Anton.
Holding the invoice, Anton eyes his father, then Patrice.
Do you have any idea what you're doing?
But Rashnikov and his bodyguard, they found his boat floating in the sea about 30 miles from Havana and nobody in it. Coast Guard says rough seas. Cops got no body, they got no case. Too bad Reggie wasn't so lucky.
At dusk, white-tipped waves form a wake behind Roman's luxury boat as Reggie travels across the open water toward a distant horizon. Words painted on the back of the boat read, "License to chill."
Come on, kid. Where'd he disappear to?
Maybe he needed a mental health break.
Don't bullshit a bullshitter. How'd you pull it off?
Oh, and I'm kind of a big deal in the art world again.
With Andre.
So if anything should happen to me, you'll find I have just as many rich and powerful friends as you do. And your chops? They're a bit dry.
She leaves.
Fuck off!
Scusa.
The mob boss throws his napkin on his table. At the waterfront, Patrice grins as Gordon briefly clasps her hand.
I go vault.
I gotta ask. The Yiddish.
What? A black man can't speak Yiddish? Williamsburg wasn't always hipsters and hemp seeds in the 50s.
In an art warehouse, a worker rolls items past the wooden crate.
Today, we bring you a story involving a missing Russian billionaire. Some people say his disappearance is art imitating life. And others say it's life imitating murder.
The crate bears a label listing the work as The Kill Room. Cut to black. Titles appear, directed by Nicole Payone. Written by Jonathan Jacobson. Produced by Jordan Yale Levine, Jordan Beckerman. Produced by Anne Clements, Nicole Payone. Produced by William Rosenfeld, John Keyes. Produced by Uma Thurman. Produced by Bill Kenwright. Produced by Danielle Thomas, Jason Weinberg. Co-produced by Amanda Homer, Kimberly Montini. Co-produced by Michael Day, Jesse Corman, Dominic Ottersbach. Executive producer, Robert Kapp. Executive producer, Paul Wedgwood. Executive producers, David Gilbury, Naomi George. Executive producers, Matthew Helderman, Luke Taylor, Phil Hunt, Compton Ross. Executive producers, Jason Zabaris, Ulf Eck, Jay Burnley. Executive producers, Nicholas Donnermeyer, Michael J. Rothstein, Jeffrey Tussey, Stephen Braun. Executive producers, Scott Levinson, Jason Kringstein. Executive producers, Richard Switzer, Ian Niles. Executive producers, Vishwa Hanarkar, Francisco Cueto, Mark Maxey, David Bell. Executive producers, B.K. Fulton, Tyler W. Coney, David Nazar. Executive producers, Darshan Patel, Tejal Patel, Nicholas Wirth, Russ Pasternak. Executive producers, Ash Christian, Jackie Palkovitz, Michael Palkovitz, Bill Green. Executive producers, Philip Schultz, Bradley Pills, Boyd Melson. Executive producers, Carrie Anderson, Cahil Dote, Marina Mazowitzki, James DiGiacomo. Co-executive producers, Megan Kelleher, Jeffrey B. Larson, Neil A. Cuppersmith, Bradley J. Corman. Co-executive producers, Pedro Luis Cunha Farias, Stephen Tussey, Kurt Ebner. Director of photography, Bartosz Nalazek, PSC. Production designer, Maite Perez Nievas. Edited by Gillian Hutching. Costume designer, Evren Catlin. Music supervisor, Melanie Mitchell. Music by Jessica Rose Weiss and Jason Suda. Casting by Ellen Lewis and Kate Sprantz. Uma Thurman. Joe Manganello. Maya Hawk. Debbie Mazar. Dre Hemingway. Amy Coombe. Candy Buckley, Larry Pine. Jennifer Kim, Matthew Marr. Tom Pachinka, Alexander Sokolnikov. And Samuel L. Jackson. The Kill Room. Universal Pictures presents a Yale Productions production, an Idiot Savant Pictures production. In association with Such Content and in association with Supernova Capital LLP. In association with BK Studios. In association with Bondit Media Capital and in association with Headgear Films and Metrol Technology. In association with Great Escape and in association with Complex Corp. In association with Sushetta DreamWorks Productions and in association with Slated. Credits roll. TKR The Film LLC is the author of this motion picture for purposes of the Berne Convention and all national laws giving effect thereto. This picture is a work of fiction. The characters and events portrayed in this motion picture are entirely fictional. Any resemblance to any persons, whether living or dead, is entirely coincidental. This motion picture is protected by the copyright laws of the United States and all other countries. Any unauthorized duplication, copying, or use of all or part of this motion picture may result in civil liabilities and/or criminal prosecution in accordance with the applicable laws. Copyright 2023 TKR The Film LLC, all rights reserved. This film has been described by Deluxe with funding by Universal. Voice by Nicole Zanzarella.